Good evening. This is Peter Tobin introducing... Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. Tonight we bring you the explosive drama Portrait in Black by Gough and Roberts. A wealthy ship owner's wife conspires with a doctor to kill her elderly bedridden husband. His death is put down to natural causes, but the security of the guilty pair is shattered when an anonymous letter arrives advising that their crime is known. To protect themselves, they must commit another murder, and the action of the play rises to peaks of suspense, tension, discovery, and confession. Listen in a few moments to Portrait in Black, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. And now, Act One of tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation, Portrait in Black.
Shouldn't be sitting alone in the dark like this. Let me pull these curtains. That's it.
Thank you, Gracie.
I put the afternoon mail on the table by the telephone. There's lots of it. Mr. Talbot certainly knew people all over the world, didn't he? Letters from London, Honolulu, even Australia. Just wait until Peter sees all those stamps. Him and his precious ear nails.
Where is Peter?
Next door. It's good he's got his little friend to play with.
Yes. This is a house of death, isn't it?
Oh, come, ma'am.
One's never allowed to forget. The telephone, letters, people calling.
Well, they're sad at the master's passing. It were a ghastly shock to so many.
Yes. Yes, of course. A ghastly shock.
Oh, here's Miss Winifred. I'll go to the kitchen and see if I can organize cook about dinner. She's just gone to pieces.
Hello, Winifred.
Was there any afternoon mail?
Yes, it's by the telephone.
Aren't you going to read yours?
In a little while. I think they're mostly sympathy letters.
And don't you need sympathy?
What did you mean by that, Winifred?
I shouldn't have said it. Forgive me, Jarvis.
We haven't progressed very far in 10 years, have we? Now that Matthew's gone, there are lots of things we'll have to work out together, and... Winifred, do you remember when I first came here, what wonderful friends we were going to be? You don't know how the thought of being a stepmother terrified me. I really did want you to love me. I thought I was succeeding too, but you started putting a wall between us. You still do.
I'm sorry.
Perhaps if you went away for a week or two and came back rested and happier, we could make a completely fresh start.
Oh, I'd rather not go away just now, Townes.
Oh.
I have a reason for staying.
Blake Ritchie?
What if it were?
Winifred. His union at this minute is fighting the Talbot shipping line which your father founded. I don't want to interfere with your life, but people are bound to talk.
I won't embarrass the family, Tarnas. That's what you mean.
I was only trying to help.
Mr. Marlowe's waiting to see you, ma'am.
Oh, not that man. Please, Winifred, don't make difficulties. Show Mr. Marlowe in, Gracie.
Very well, Mrs. Talbot. Will you come through, sir?
Ah, thank you. Oh, hello, Tarnas, Winifred. Well, it's business, I'm afraid. A briefcase full of documents to be signed.
Not today, I hope.
Well, tomorrow, at the latest. They're important. The strikers are on the rampage down at the docks.
Has anyone thought of giving them what they want?
Woman talk. You just leave those decisions to me and the other directors.
Oh, the line can afford it, goodness knows.
You're out of your depth, Winifred. Blake Ritchie's a roughneck labor organizer.
Well, he has been decent enough to come to the funeral.
That's what I mean about women. Don't you know why Ritchie was there? To watch the Talbot shipping line being lowered into its grave.
That's just what I expected you to say. Winifred, please.
Well, I didn't know I was stirring up a hornet's nest.
Why shouldn't he have been there?
Chiefly, Winifred, because 1 hour before Mr. Ritchie bowed his head so piously over your father's coffin, the Union was threatening to tie up the entire Pacific coast. Ritchie was like a bird of prey. He should have been circling overhead. not standing beside us.
I think that's horrible.
Well, I didn't know Winifred had such violent political convictions.
Not political, Rupert. Emotional. She's in love with the man.
Well, how long has that been going on?
Long enough to make her very jittery. I'm going to ask Dr. Graham to speak to her tonight.
Graham? Coming here?
Yes, we're expecting him for dinner. Winifred takes a lot of notice of what he says. Will you leave the papers with me, please, Rupert?
Oh, certainly. I've been wondering why Graham wasn't at the funeral. The Matthews doctor, he could have made the effort, don't you think? A sort of last call?
Well, I expect he's been very busy at the hospital.
Did he say anything about that job in Brazil? Kessler told me about it yesterday, head of a new government research laboratory.
I haven't spoken to Dr. Graham since the night Matthew died.
He'll be an awful chump if he doesn't go. It's quite a proposition, I hear.
You don't like Dr. Graham, do you?
Why, I like practically everybody, Tarnas. It's just that I hate the smell of ether. Oh, there you are. All the papers I need signed.
Sleep louder tonight.
Oh, the house is quiet. Perhaps that's why. Besides, you've got a lot on your mind. How does it feel, Tarnas? I mean, how does it feel after 10 years to find yourself free?
I was wondering if you'd be blunt enough to ask.
Why pretend? There's no need for deception between us, surely.
I'd rather not discuss my new freedom.
I was going to pay you a compliment, Tarnas. This has never been a happy house for you. It's been more like a prison. Yet I've watched you behaving admirably for 10 years. No more protest than an occasional sadness in your eyes. Naturally, I assume that in your grief, there might also be a sense of escape.
Will you send for the papers tomorrow, Rupert?
Yes, of course. But that brings up the fact that Matthew didn't leave you free at all. There's the burdensome heritage of 103 ships and a worldwide organization known as the Talbot Line. And just now it's facing some very ticklish problems.
Well, surely that's a matter for you and the other directors.
It could be a matter for just you and me.
Why? Can't they be trusted?
You could find yourself outmaneuvered.
It's your job to see that I'm not.
I was hoping you'd allow me to extend my sphere of protection beyond the office.
Now you're circling overhead. Come down to earth, Rupert.
I was thinking of marriage, Tarnas. Not right away, of course. Perhaps not for a year.
I have the feeling the whole proposition is in your briefcase this minute, neatly typed on legal stationery. Or is it among these, awaiting my signature?
I'm still in love with you, as you probably know.
Thank you for mentioning love.
It's not a new word between us.
It's an old and forgotten word.
Have I changed so much? Don't you remember the days when most of my salary went for camellias?
Yes. And I remember the excuses you made not to see me when I needed you most.
I told you a long time ago I was merely being practical.
And condemning me to 10 years in this prison, as you call it.
Would you think it'd been easy for me? Why do you suppose I've never married?
Because you're vain, Rupert. You're so vain, you wouldn't sacrifice any part of yourself to another human being.
Oh, well, this is a new attack. Now I'm vain.
Well, aren't you? Why, you're as blind as a bat, and you won't wear glasses.
Nothing wrong with my eyes. The sun bothers them a bit, that's all.
Here. What does this letter say?
Oh, Tarnas, don't be ridiculous.
Now go on, read it.
Mrs. Matthew Talbot, 19 25th Avenue.
Very good, Rupert. Except that it says Mrs. Tarnas Talbot.
Well, I hardly glanced at it. As a lawyer, I should have known better than to jump to conclusions.
Rupert, you're magnificent.
You haven't given me an answer yet.
I haven't made it clear. I will, then. No.
I warn you, Tarnas. Somehow I'll get you.
It's Dr. Graham.
Oh, it was good of you to come, Doctor. I know how busy you are.
You're looking tired.
I'm not really.
I'm sorry I couldn't be at the funeral. It must have been quite an ordeal.
There were people from all over the country. You know, I'd forgotten how important the Talbot name was. And now all that's left of the Talbots is a white-faced little boy.
How is Peter?
Playing in his room.
Is he likely to come down?
No.
What about Gracie?
With Cook.
Cobb?
In his room.
Oh, Tarnas.
Oh, darling. Darling.
We shouldn't. Not here.
I know.
So soon in this house.
Oh, I can't help it. It's been agony. Hold me for just a moment.
must be careful.
I know. But right now I'm making a wish.
What are you wishing?
For a year from now.
Do you know where we'll be then?
No, tell me.
You'll be sitting home somewhere, and I'll be at the hospital performing a tonsillectomy.
Oh, Philip, don't say such dreadful things.
I wanted to see you smile. It's so long since you have.
Oh, darling, how long will this have to go on?
Oh, just for a little while, for appearance's sake. Darling, I'd better go now and you back at the hospital.
But you're staying for dinner.
I've an operation to perform. I shouldn't have left the hospital at all.
But I've been so looking forward to it all evening. Can't you call the hospital?
It's impossible. Oh, darling, you know what a doctor's life is.
Philip, are you making excuses not to be with me?
Excuses?
I can understand operations, the hospital, but not Brazil.
Who told you about Brazil?
Rupert Marlowe heard it from Dr. Kessler. Why didn't you tell me about it?
I was going to.
What did you say to them?
Well, I couldn't give them a flat no. They'd start looking for reasons. I told them I'd have to think about it.
You mean you will take the job if they insist?
No, I won't take it. But I'll have to have an adequate excuse. Oh, darling, I know what you've been going through, but you mustn't start imagining things. You have to get some rest. Think about us, our being together, anything. But you must rest.
All right, Philip. Go ahead to your hospital. I'll comfort myself with his letters of sympathy. Dear Mrs. Talbot, I knew and respected Matthew Talbot for 30 years.
Alice, you're upsetting yourself.
Dear Mrs. Talbot, what small comfort can a letter be? Dear Mrs. Talbot.
Darling, please.
I'm sorry. Stupid of me. But I'm so disappointed about tonight.
Oh, Alice. Goodbye, darling.
Philip!
Yes?
About us.
About us?
Dear Mrs. Talbot, congratulations on the success of your murder.
What? Somebody knows.
Oh, thank you, Gracie. Show him in here, please.
Would you come through, Doctor?
Thank you. Good morning, Mrs. Talbot.
I've been trying desperately to get you. What have you found out?
We know nothing more than we did last night.
Did you examine the letter again?
1,000 times.
Well?
What can you learn from an anonymous letter? Printed words, cheap paper, a common postmark. It would take detectives to track it down.
But he knew that when he wrote it. Whoever he is, he's a clever man.
We don't even know that it was a man. All we know is the postmark.
Carmel.
Carmel, 11 p.m. on the 21st.
Is there anything we can do?
Only wait. Find out what he's after. Why he didn't go to the police.
Just to sit here day after day. Oh, Philip, it was going to be so quick and final. All in that one moment in Matthew's room. If we'd been caught then, I was prepared for it, but... this way, dragging on, giving us no peace.
Darling, we've got to keep our heads.
Oh, sorry, I had a ghastly night. I didn't close my eyes once, and that dreadful foghorn, it never stopped.
Yes, I know. When I went back to the hospital, there was an old man who needed a hypodermic. The nurse handed me the needle. Then I heard it, too. Suddenly, it was the night in Matthew's room. The foghorn. The hypodermic. The nurse on the other side of the bed, watching me the way you did. The old man looking up at me with Matthew's eyes, smiling at his friend, the doctor. I was due in the operating room. I couldn't face it. I turned it over to a surgeon who'd be concentrating on his patient.
Philip, it's all my fault.
No, darling.
I wasn't satisfied with a few minutes a day, a few hours a week, sneaking away, hiding. It wasn't enough.
Darnis, don't.
From the day Dr. Kessler brought you here, I've been to blame.
Darling, that first day I came to this house, I was jealous of a helpless, bedridden man. Because you were his wife.
Where did we blunder, Philip? We were so careful.
That's what's been driving me mad. I don't know. Think back, Tarnis. My nightly visit. A routine hypodermic. A sick man dies peacefully in his sleep. A death certificate says natural causes. There isn't a soul in the world who could suspect.
It couldn't come to him in a dream. He must know something.
A hunch, a suspicion. He may have found out about us and put two and two together.
No, but he knows about us.
We can't be sure of that.
But if he's only guessing, why the letter?
To find out if he was right. It's simple medical technique. You give a patient an injection and you wait for him to react. Well, the letter was the needle. Now he sits back to watch. And what does he see? A sleepless night. A postponed operation. The doctor himself here, 2 days in a row, with no one sick in the house. We may have given ourselves away already.
But, Philip, how could he watch us unless he were here?
Or coming here.
Who is it?
He has one weakness, Tarnis. He's a man with a secret.
But how can that help us?
A secret hates to be imprisoned in the mind of one man. It begs to come out in the open. This secret's too big for our man. No matter how clever he is, it will show. He'll want to see us squirm. He'll want to gloat. It'll be in his attitude, in a smile, something he says. Whatever it is, we'll be looking for it. When he comes here, we'll be waiting for him.
And if we find him?
That depends on who it is.
Why?
There are ways you can trap a fox. A tiger has to be killed. He can lift a telephone and send us to our deaths.
About Matthew, we could lie to ourselves. I think he welcomed death. But this time
this time, darling, if there's no other choice, if it has to be done, I would take a man's life coldly and dispassionately. Because our being together is all that matters to me.
I knew something would go wrong. I was too close to happiness.
Are you expecting anyone?
No.
Who could it be?
I have no idea. Come in. Oh, it's Cobb.
It's getting quite damp and foggy out. Shall I set a match to the fire?
Later, thank you, Cobb.
As you say, ma'am. Mrs. Talbot, I'd like to speak to you in the strictest confidence.
Would you like me to wait in the library?
There's no need of that, Doctor. Being a man, you'd understand. It's the downstairs I'd rather not have jabbering about this.
Well, Cobb?
I know as well as I do, ma'am, I've been sorely in need of money lately. Difficult admission, that is, for a proud man like me.
But you've already been paid ahead as far as November.
And I'm that grateful. But it's information I have concerning a certain event that'll be the answer to me financial embarrassment, I'm hoping.
It must be very interesting information. What is it, stock market?
Call it a kind of investment, Doctor.
How can I help?
Well, the truth is, ma'am, it's another loan I'm needing. I'm wondering if you could advance me my salary for the month of, well, that'd take us to December, wouldn't it?
Well, if it's serious.
It is, ma'am, you have my word. I've got to have it.
I'll write a check this afternoon.
Thank you, Mrs. Talbot. It's a rich man I'm likely to become because of your generosity. Excuse me, Doctor.
A demand for money.
Oh, no. Not Cobb.
What sort of information do you suppose he has?
Probably a racing tip. He's always gambling.
Why on earth have you never learned to drive?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Look at the opportunities he's had to spy on us. Chauffeuring you downtown 3 or 4 times a week.
I never went directly to our place. He always took me to a shop, a dressmaker.
He only had to follow you once to have reason to suspect. Now he knows how eager you are to please. Next time it might be more than salary.
Philip, we'll get nowhere suspecting everyone and exposing only ourselves. I can't go on like this. I don't know what we can do.
Excuse me. The front door was open.
You walk very quietly, Rupert.
Do I? I was in the neighborhood. Am I interrupting anything clinical, Doctor?
I was just finishing.
Oh, good. Tarnis, I think we'd better have a talk. The union's calling a strike meeting for Thursday night.
Have you done anything about it?
The shipping association's meeting the same night. That's why I'm here. The owners are looking to the Talbot line to set the policy. So
I'll be with you in a few minutes, Rupert, in the library.
I'll take a turn on the terrace, if you don't mind. I like to watch the fog coming in. Excuse me. Oh, before I go, how are things at the hospital, Doctor?
Oh, about as usual.
Have you thought any more about Brazil?
Not since I last saw you.
That was quite recently, wasn't it?
Yesterday, I believe.
Well, that disturbs me, Doctor. Disturbs me quite a lot.
Why should it?
I'm thinking of you, my dear. 2 professional visits in a row by a doctor who's terribly busy. Why didn't you tell me you were ill?
It isn't serious, is it, Doctor?
Oh, not really, Mrs. Talbot. The emotional reaction of these past few days.
You see, Rupert?
Well, I'm glad that's all it is. I'll wait on the terrace. Excuse me.
How much did he overhear?
It couldn't have meant anything to him.
Thomas, he knows I'm not here professionally.
He was only trying to be clever.
He's so sure of himself, almost as though he knew.
No, don't say another word.
I hate his prying, his courtroom humor.
What else do you expect? He's a lawyer. Oh, it's too incredible. I know Rupert's faults, but he's too subtle for blackmail. Besides, he has more money than he can spend.
Maybe it's not money he's after.
What else could it be?
I don't know.
After all, what could possibly be...
What is it, Thomas?
Nothing.
Don't put anything between us now.
You distort whatever I told you.
What is it he wants?
He's in love with me. He wants to marry me.
Why didn't you tell me?
I was going to.
That's not an answer.
I was afraid you wouldn't understand.
He knew you years before I did. A man doesn't propose to a blank wall.
You see? That's why I didn't tell you. Oh, I love you, Philip. Isn't that answer enough?
Did you tell him that?
How could I?
Yet he knows about me.
Well, what if he does? It's only jealousy.
That's a motive.
It isn't enough.
He's also been talking to Dr. Kessler, asking questions for all we know.
Kessler? Are you sure?
The day before yesterday, playing golf. This is no time for Marlowe to be hobnobbing with Matthew's former doctor.
That means nothing. They've been playing at Pebble Beach for years.
Pebble Beach?
Matthew was a member, too.
The day before yesterday was the 21st.
Why do you say it like that?
When was that letter mailed?
On the 20th.
Pebble Beach is 6 miles from...
Carmel.
11 p.m. on the 21st.
Rupert Marlowe.
So smug.
So that's what he meant yesterday. He smiled at me and said, I warn you, Tarnis, somehow I'll get you. What are you thinking, Philip?
He's more dangerous than a fox. There's no longer any choice.
Whatever you say. When?
As soon as possible. Before he knows we're onto him.
Is Dr. Graham still with Peter?
Yes, he's almost through.
What does he think?
Oh, only the fog and damp. An autumn cold.
Oh, thank goodness it isn't serious.
Winifred, are you going to the union meeting with Blake Ritchie?
I hope you're not going to object again, Tarnis. My mind's made up.
Winifred, I didn't intend to interfere. If you want to watch them vote a strike against us, that's your affair. I only wondered if you were going to change.
Oh, I am in a moment. I just wanted to hear what Dr. Graham had to say first.
Well, it's nearly 8 o'clock.
Is it? Oh, I'd better hurry.
Oh, here's Dr. Graham now. Oh, how is Peter, Doctor?
Oh, he'll be up in a couple of days.
Oh, wonderful. Now, do excuse me. I must change.
I'll telephone from Los Angeles to see how Peter is. In the meantime, keep him in bed. Plenty of juices. I thought the servants were going to be off.
Gracie wouldn't go until you'd seen Peter. The others have left.
Tarnis, when Marlowe leaves here tonight, you must be alone in the house. Anyone who sees you at the window might guess you were giving a signal.
I'll see to it that she leaves.
Did you speak to Marlowe?
Yes. He's dining with his sister, and then he's stopping by here on the way to the shipowner's meeting.
You're sure he will?
He has to pick up the proxy.
And the shipowner's meeting is still at 8:30?
Yes.
You've got to get Marlowe out of here at 8:15. It time's all right. Now, don't forget, when that clock strikes the quarter, he must be out of that door. What's the matter?
I'm terrified, Philip.
Darling, he'd give us away without blinking.
It's you I'm worried about.
Can you go through with it?
Yes.
Come on, then. Try the curtains.
Is that enough? Do you want the other one?
No. I'll be able to see that. Now remember, when Marlowe's car starts up the hill, draw that curtain and leave it open. I have to be able to see the light from the top of the hill so that I can get to the stop street just before he does.
And if something should go wrong at the stop street?
Nothing will. When his car pulls up alongside mine, there won't be 10 feet between us.
Will you phone me afterwards?
I'll stop in at the hospital and be noticed. Then I'll go to the railroad station. When I call you tomorrow from Los Angeles, confine your answers to Peter's cold. If you say his temperature is normal, I'll know we're safe. If he's feverish...
Don't.
That won't happen. On the night of a strike boat, they won't look beyond the waterfront. He'll be here any minute. I must go now, Thomas.
Is that a gun in your pocket? Will I be able to hear the shot from this room?
It will be just another car backfiring.
Philip, isn't there some safer way?
This way it'll look as though it was done by strikers. Goodbye, darling.
Have you got a coat? It's cold out.
In the car.
I love you, Philip.
I love you.
Is Mr. Marlowe there, please? Oh, Jessica. Oh, Rupert said he'd stop by for the proxy, and I wondered if he's... Oh, he has already. Oh, good. Oh, then he should be here any moment. Well, the truth is, I was a bit worried. Rupert thinks he's too brave to be frightened by threats. Oh, I thought he'd have told you. Phone calls and letters. Oh, everything. You know what that Ritchie crowd's like. Well, ask him about it. Oh, and do tell him to be more careful. Oh, I think that's Rupert now, darling. Yes, soon. Yes, good night.
Well, Tanya.
I was beginning to worry about you.
The fog's a bit thick outside. I took my time.
Well, I have the proxy here. Oh, here. Let me help you off with your coat.
Oh, thank you. What happened to the help? They're going on strike, too.
It's Thursday. It's their day off.
Gracie, too?
Her brother arrived from out of town. I don't mind being alone.
These do?
Oh, Rupert, I still have all those roses from yesterday beside my bed.
Open it.
No one's given me camellias.
I haven't forgotten.
Will you pin them on?
Yes.
Oh, they're beautiful. Would you like a brandy?
I'd love one.
With a little Cointreau.
You have a good memory, too.
For something.
Thank you.
If you value your life at all, you'll ask the police for protection. Let me get the number for you.
I've already spoken to them.
You were very wise. And did they give you a bodyguard?
Yes, I'm picking him up tonight at the shipowners' meeting, Derby and all. He's going to play the devil with my most intimate moments.
Well, it'll only be for a little while. Thank goodness you've taken care of it.
I must say I'm enchanted by your concern, Thomas. After the other
day... Oh, don't remind me of that, Rupert. I was overwrought. What time is it? You mustn't be late for the meeting.
Oh, 8:10. I still have a few minutes.
Yes, but then you really must leave.
Thomas, you're looking wonderful. Any reason in particular?
Oh, I'm sleeping better. Perhaps that's why.
Well, perhaps now you won't be needing so many doctors around. You know, the place is beginning to look like a clinic.
Well, if it'll make you feel any softer towards the medical profession, Dr. Graham's on his way now to Los Angeles to accept a job abroad.
Brazil?
Oh, could have been, I'm not sure.
Oh, it's a wonderful country, Brazil. So far away. Oh, Winifred, where were you hiding?
I thought you were going out.
Oh, I changed my mind. Or rather, I had my mind changed for me.
Well, you might have let me know, don't you think?
Does my staying home inconvenience you? If so, you'll be glad to know I'm leaving permanently in a few days. I'm going to marry Blake Ritchie.
Marry?
What? Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And how about you, Janet? Are you going to add your congratulations to Rupert?
If marriage has entered the picture, why aren't you at the meeting with the champion of the people?
It's for men only. Isn't that miserable? I was going to vote against you. Twice.
Very amusing. But if women were not to be allowed at this meeting, I'd have known as soon as Ritchie did. As a matter of fact, we have two of our own women planted there now.
I don't believe it.
One of them's on the committee. Sorry I can't phone the call and have her paged.
Blake must have had a good reason.
Too bad, Winifred. The man of your choice has started lying to you already.
Oh, that isn't fair, Rupert. Whatever he is, he's not the lying type. Winifred, I admit I thought he was merely using you to get at us, but if he loves you and wants to marry you, that puts a different complexion on the matter.
You surprise me, Tarnis.
Oh, don't tell me he's pulled the wool over your eyes too, Tarnis.
He probably had some idea it wouldn't be safe for Winifred to be there. Naturally, if he's going to marry her, he He'd be feeling very protective.
Then you don't disapprove of my marrying?
Not if you love him, Winifred. And if you do, tonight you belong there at his side.
And that's just where I'm going to be. Good night, Charnus, and thank you.
Good night, Winifred.
Nothing for me?
Yes, I hope you're a good loser.
Well, Charnus, that was the last piece of advice I expected to hear from you.
If I opposed her, it would only make her more determined.
But there's still no reason to send her scooting off to Richie's side of the fence.
Please, I think I know how to handle Winifred.
I'm sorry, of course. I should leave the family problems to you. In a way, I envy Richie there. I wish someone were rushing downtown to see me. Braving the fog, charging through stop streets, hair flying in the wind, just to see me.
What color hair?
Roughly yours.
Well, there'll be other evenings. You have to go now. Look at the time.
Oh, Tarnis, you've been watching the clock like a radio announcer. When you hear the tone, it will be exactly Rupert Marlowe's departure.
It wasn't meant to sound that way. I just don't like the idea of your hurrying in this weather, Rupert. And I do wish you'd get glasses.
Why do you keep on at me about that?
Well, it's so silly to be vain about it. I think they'd make you look very distinguished.
My dear, I see what I have to see.
Then promise me you'll drive carefully.
20 miles an hour.
And go through stop streets?
Not one.
Good. Oh, the proxy.
Shall I see you tomorrow? Dinner, perhaps? The Skyway Inn up at Angel's Crest?
Well,
What's the matter?
Nothing.
If you don't trust my eyesight on those winding roads, we'll have Cobb drive, all right?
Sounds wonderful.
Good night, Tarnus.
Good night, Rupert. Wait for the car to drive off. Now the curtain. One side. Any minute now.
Open up, for Betty's sake. Open the door. Open up.
What's happened?
Bolt the door.
What's the matter?
Someone tried to kill me, took a shot at me.
What are you saying, Rupert? Who did? Where?
At the top of the hill. Car parked by the stop street. I had to pull right up alongside.
But did you see who it was?
My foot braked and hold. I grabbed for the emergency and the bullet tore through
the window.
Did
you see who it was?
No, his coat collar was up. He turned left and tore along the highway. Do you realize if I hadn't gone forward for that handbrake...
It must have been one of Richie's men. It couldn't be anyone else.
Well, we'll soon know.
How?
I saw the license number.
The license?
He made his mistake when he turned left in front of me.
But you couldn't have seen the number. Not with your eyesight.
I told you I can see what I have to see.
What was the number?
23B. I only saw it for a second. 23B 140, that's it. It's probably stolen, but it's a lead for the police. Get them on the phone.
Rupert, before you talk to them, do you have to?
Why shouldn't I?
I mean, can't you handle this yourself?
What are the police for?
Well, it'll only involve us all in a scandal. Winifred's engaged to Richie. Don't you know what the newspapers would do?
That can't be helped. If he tried to kill me once, he'll try again.
Rupert, I beg you. Hello? Oh, yes, Winifred. Winifred, you must come home immediately. Something ghastly's happened. A man in a car tried to kill Rupert.
No wonder her boyfriend left her here.
No, he's all right. He's here now. He's right beside me. We were just going to phone the police. He saw the license number of the car, 23B140. Yeah, will you? That's a very good idea.
What's a very good idea?
She's right near a police station. She's going there now.
Tell her to bring a detective. Here, let me talk to her.
Bring a detective with you and hurry.
Maybe she'll listen to me next time she decides to marry a hoodlum.
Excuse me, Rupert.
Well, where are you going?
Just to make sure I bolted the door. Why? I just wanted to make certain. Oh, when you came in, I was so startled. You looked like a ghost.
Well, it's no wonder. Oh, what's keeping them? Are they walking here?
They'll be here soon. There's nothing you can do until then.
Well, at least I could phone the association and tell them where I am.
Wait until the detective arrives. He may want you to say nothing until they've made an arrest.
Oh, that's a moment I'll enjoy. Facing the man who thought he killed me.
I hope it's soon. Oh, you could do with a drink.
Yes, I could. Believe me, it's no fun hearing the whisper of death.
Rupert, when I tried to stop you calling the police, It wasn't myself I was thinking of. It was Winifred. But you were right, of course. I was selfish. Forgive me.
I'm sorry I had to involve the family.
Your life is more important than some newsprint that'll be forgotten in a week.
I'll keep the Talbot name out of it as much as possible.
Dear Rupert, thank you.
Oh, I'll get it. Hello? Yes, I'm still here.
Who? Winifred.
Yes, I'll tell her. Well, I am late, I suppose, but the truth is I was delayed. Not at all. Enjoy yourself. Good night, Winifred.
Water or soda?
A few minutes ago, when Winifred phoned, where was she?
At the town hall.
Is there any particular reason for her call?
She wanted me to know that she'd arrived safely.
Poor Winifred. All of a sudden, her memory seems to have gone to pieces.
In what way?
She's had a flat tire on the corner of Market Street and 6th. She wants Cobb to pick up the car. She's on her way to the meeting, not from it.
Why, I don't see how she... But that's impossible.
Who called the first time?
Winifred, of course. What's got into you, Rupert? I've never seen
Shut
you
up.
Like...
Why did you lie about it?
I didn't lie.
Why didn't you want the police here?
I don't know what you're talking about. You're trying to confuse me.
Because you knew the man in the car was waiting for me.
How could I have known that?
You sent him there.
That's insane.
I didn't think you'd be stupid enough to kill me for what I knew. How carefully you planned it. The empty house. What time is it? Don't miss a stop street. Oh, Winifred almost upset your apple cart, didn't she? But you got rid of her brilliantly. And tomorrow we were going to dine together, just the two of us. Who was in the car?
I don't know.
Who was it?
You're breaking my wrist.
Shall I get a doctor? How about Graham?
Rupert, let me go.
Maybe he isn't in Los Angeles after all. Maybe he's sitting in a car somewhere with a smoking gun. Maybe he's in a phone booth. Maybe it was Graham who called, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And what of it? You wanted to destroy us. And I'd do anything to keep him. Anything.
You told him to come here. And you pretended to bolt the door a moment ago. You pretended and...
Where is he?
Where's Graham? Where is... Oh, don't shoot. You mustn't shoot. Don't shoot.
Dry the windows by staring at him, Cobb.
That's the police boats under the bridge I'm watching, Gracie.
If it's not the boats, it's the postman. Never your job.
Yeah, fat lot of good dredging will do them. Or sending a diver to the bottom. Yeah, if you ask me, Mr. Marlowe's body's a mile out to sea now with the sharks for company. Huh. It was cleverly done.
But Mr. Ritchie made a big mistake.
There's no proof it was Mr. Ritchie. None. The police are investigating.
Shall I tell you where he made his big mistake? Leaving the car with a bullet hole to say a murder had been done. Oh, yes, Mr. Ritchie were clever.
For the last time, it weren't Mr. Ritchie.
Someone frightened Mr. Marlowe enough to make him ask for police protection. It's them strikers, I tell you that. Feelings was running high at the docks. They shot him dead to get even with the Talbot lines and
I... Swiss, Gracie. Dr. Graham has called to see Mrs. Talbot.
It's Peter he's called.
But there's nothing the matter with him.
He's got a cold.
If you ask me, it's all
enough. I'm not that, Samuel, and kindly keep your thoughts to yourself. And get to the garden and see to them sprinklers.
The post hasn't come yet, has it?
What with waiting for the post and watching them boats on the river, you haven't done work in days. Now get to them sprinklers, you idle heathen.
Thomas. You shouldn't have called me.
Darling, I had to see you.
It's most unwise. Peter is perfectly all right. We can't go on pretending
You've
that
you stayed away from me deliberately, haven't you?
Of course. At this moment, we must see as little of each other as possible. Winifred is suspicious, do you know that?
Winifred's always suspicious.
She's been asking a lot of questions.
About us?
About you.
There's no evidence, none. I'm not afraid of Winifred, but I'm afraid of us, of the future.
What do you mean?
You've accepted this job in Brazil, haven't you? You're trying to shut me out of your life.
Oh, my darling, no. But don't you see there's no hope for us here?
No hope?
Brazil is our only chance. I'll send for you as soon as I can.
So you're going?
As soon as things have settled down here, you can come.
But you can't leave me now.
Winifred will be watching our every move. Look at us now. Every time we're together, our nerves are in shreds. We're bound to give ourselves away.
We'll be half the world apart at a time when we need each other most.
A day by plane, a week by boat.
You'll have your work. What will I have? All right, darling. You win. I'll do whatever you wish.
Thank you.
When do you sail?
Saturday.
Come in.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Oh, yes, Cobb. What is it?
This letter, it came for you. Addressed personal.
Oh, thank you. You can go, Cobb.
Very well, ma'am.
I wonder what this letter's about.
What is it?
Dear Mrs. Talbot, my congratulations on the success of your second venture. Philip, you haven't finished your coffee.
No. These cigarettes taste like mud.
Only because you haven't eaten anything for hours. At least try some of these savories. Please, darling.
It's no good, Tarnis. Stop pretending we're normal people in front of the others because we have to, but for heaven's sake, not when we're alone.
Getting into a panic won't help us.
What's the use of trying to fool ourselves? We're standing on the edge of a cliff.
I won't let myself give way while there's the slightest hope.
Hope? I envy you.
Darling, do pull yourself together. You'll be ill if you go on like this.
Right now, I feel like shouting the truth from the housetops. Whoever it is, Tarnis, is getting closer. So close, he can drop a letter in your mailbox in broad daylight. And this time, there isn't even a postmark to help us. What's his motive?
Money, probably.
Or just the pleasure of watching us go mad with fear and anxiety. And if that isn't fast enough, another letter. Who is it? Who is it?
Philip, I don't want to know who it is.
What are you talking about?
I couldn't be part of any more killing.
Do you know what it would mean to sit and wait for a blackmailer? Dreading the postman's footsteps, tortured when there were none?
We'd be together.
24-hour leases on freedom.
More than we ever had.
And finally, when we were bled dry, his last letter to the police.
He's running away.
Who is? Chrissy, what are you talking about?
Oran, he's leaving.
Oh, is that all? I gave him permission to take the night off.
It's more than tonight he's taken off. He's in there now, piling his luggage on the bed.
I'm sure there's an explanation, Gracie. Now, would you go up and see that Peter gets to bed?
If you don't mind, ma'am. First, I'll look and see how much of the silver is missing.
Cobb. Once before, I thought...
No! We can't start suspecting everyone again.
Which number rings his room?
It's too dangerous with everyone here.
We've got to take that chance.
Philip, have you forgotten everything I told you?
That was before Gracie threw him into our laps. Which number, Tarnis?
5.
Well, good evening, Cobb. This is Dr. Graham. I have a prescription that has to be filled immediately, and I... Yes, the chemist... Thank you.
If he wrote the letters, Philip, why would he run away?
He's safer operating from a distance. He knows what happened to Marlowe.
I told you, I couldn't be part of any more killing.
It may not be necessary. He has evidence of murder and he hasn't gone to the police. He's as guilty as we are. I know that much about the law.
Then promise me you'll do nothing until we're certain. Not until we've decided together.
Tarnis, he'll be on guard if you're upset.
Let me question him.
It's better if you do, but remember, he's tricky. Anything he says might be a lie.
And if we find that it isn't Cobb?
I'll do whatever you ask.
Come in.
Good evening, Mrs. Talbot. Doctor? Oh, it's heavy of heart I am to hear of, but there's more sickness in the house.
Ah, here you are, Cobb. It may take a little while to prepare.
Oh, I'll make up the lost time in my best driving, knowing the importance of the mission, sir.
Cobb, Gracie told me a very strange thing. She said you were leaving.
Well, to get to the core of the matter, man, 6 years is too long for a sailor to be ashore. It's restless a man comes, so Cobb O'Brien's going back to sea.
Without saying a word to anyone?
It's the way of a sailor, ma'am. Hail and farewell. I'm a soul who hates good boys. I'd better get along to the chemist.
A moment, Cobb.
Sir?
On the 21st, the night of Mr. Talbot's funeral, did you use the car?
Without Mrs. Talbot's permission? Oh, indeed, no, sir.
Well, where were you on that night? Do you remember?
Oh, vividly, sir. In the room where I belonged, saying a quick prayer for the late dear master.
I see. Well, Cobb, if you want to give up your job, I suppose there's nothing I can say.
Thank you, ma'am.
It seems a pity to me that such a fine driver as you are should give it up.
Well, if I do say so myself, sir, I'm the darling of the insurance companies. Never an accident in 6 years at the wheel, and not just loafing along either. Why, speed, it's food and drink to me.
Yes, so I've heard.
I haven't. Who told you, may I ask, Doctor?
Peter talks about it all the time.
Does he? No. Oh, bless him. The faster I went, the better the nipper liked it.
I remember him telling me you made it from the cemetery to the garage for the day of Mr. Talbot's funeral in 20 minutes.
Well, being a young'un, he's inclined to exaggerate. It was 22 minutes, sir.
Good enough.
That's fair.
And that night, 2 hours and 10 minutes to Carmel.
Oh, 2 hours even.
You lied about that night.
Well, I was only...
You were in Carmel?
Yes, I...
You mailed a letter.
I never got out of the car.
You're lying.
Is that true?
You did mail a letter, didn't you?
Nathan, oh, no.
No. No, sir. No, I didn't.
What were you doing there?
My regular job, sir. Chauffeuring.
You drove some...
Yes, but oh,
who was it?
I promised.
Oh, you tell me!
No, Cobb, no!
For pity's sake, Doctor!
Leave it alone!
Choke it out of you! Who did you drive to Carmel?
It was Mrs. Talbot. Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Talbot. He forced it out of me.
Get out, Cobb.
Yes, sir.
What have we done?
Why are you waiting? It's true. I wrote the letters.
It isn't possible. It isn't possible. What possessed you?
It doesn't matter now. Telling you won't help me.
You planned it so cold-bloodedly. What madness took hold of you?
It wasn't madness. I knew you might find out. I've grown old dreading this moment. But it was better than the fear of losing you.
Losing me? Did you need proof of my love after the way Matthew died?
You changed. You were no longer the man who whispered to me as we entered Matthew's room. You avoided me. On the phone, you were cold and distant. And you kept making excuses.
And because of that, what a hideous joke on Rupert Marlowe. An innocent game of golf at Pebble Beach. How callously you led him to slaughter.
What else could I do? It wasn't difficult to decide between Rupert's life and my love for you.
Love? You don't know the meaning of the word. Craving and passion, that's all you understand. To be satisfied at all cost. Even if it meant dragging me through murder. Torturing me with lies. Your mind is sick, Tarnis. Pitifully, desperately sick.
Then help me.
You're beyond my help.
Are you going?
Where would I go to get away from you?
You have every right to hate me.
If only it were as simple as that. If only a man could stop loving a woman when he found out that she was evil.
Philip, after what I've done, is it possible?
Nothing's possible between us anymore, Tarnis.
I'll do whatever you ask. You can go to Brazil. I'll wait for you. And when you come back, if you ever want to, if you could believe in me again, couldn't it be like that?
Have you any idea what our life would be? What would we have to start with? What would our memories be? Places we've been, music we've heard. Oh, no. A stop street at the crest of a hill. The sound of a motor car backfiring. Unsigned letters. Printed words. You could bring them from the door and undo the pale blue ribbon. We could read them aloud together and remember.
In time, we might forget.
In time, you'd remind me.
you think you were justified, you'd do it again if you had to.
No, no!
Think, Tarnis. A sudden call from the laboratory that I'd be late. Your mind reeling with new suspicions. And then the mail next morning. Or some brand new device I'd never know. Every minute of our day tainted with thoughts of the past. Until finally, at the end of our road, we'd lie awake in separate rooms, listening in terror for a hand trying the locked door between us, in fear of each other. That's our future. That would be our happiness.
I'd rather give myself up to the police.
That would be our freedom.
We'd die.
Yes. Would you be afraid?
I don't know. I think so. When?
Now. Tonight, there's the telephone.
I've thought about it sometimes. If you were with me...
I'll be with you.
All right. Philip.
Yes, darling.
Before we... I mean, if we could have a little time together...
It's best to do it quickly. Now, dial the number.
Surely isn't much to ask.
We can't hesitate now.
Only tonight. One night. Philip, we've never even had that.
We shouldn't let ourselves think about tomorrow.
Oh, please, Philip, please. Give me some happiness to take with me.
It's wrong, Tarnis.
Darling, phone someplace. Some wonderful place. We'll forget there's anything but tonight.
All right. Go up and say goodnight to Peter.
Oh, darling, perhaps tomorrow in the sun.
Go to Peter. Hurry.
All right, darling.
I'll do it now. Police, this is Dr. Philip Graham. I have to report a murder.
In tonight's presentation of Portrait in Black, you heard Maureen Adair as Tarnis Talbot, with Harold Freed as Dr. Philip Graham and Derek Kirsch as Rupert Marlowe. Others in the cast were Pat Simpson, Jenny Kirsch, and Yvonne Bradshaw. Portrait in Black was produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. This is your Lux Radio Theatre host, Peter Tobin, bidding you all good night.